You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Hey, as you've heard, Bing is for doing, and we are doing another podcast of Justified. This is Season 3, Episode 8, Watching the Detectives. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Steve Bottomley.
Hello.
And in the booth is producer extraordinaire Phil Svitek.
Hello, hello. And before I bring on our other co-host.
Yes.
We'll announce her. You guys probably know her.
Yes, but she's joining by a remote and undisclosed location.
That's right. And we'll. But before we do, I also want to say this. As you guys listen to our shows, you guys are seeing us grow. We love having you guys part of it. We know you're spreading the word and continuing to do that to tell your friends. But also, as you do, please rate and comment us on iTunes. It actually, it means a lot to us and helps us out in more ways than you can imagine. I mean, when you fans and us, we go out for a drink or have coffee, I'll tell you all about it. but regardless, it really, really does help and means so much. And, we're developing an app, and we're not going to, people were saying you guys should charge for it, but we're not going to charge because of you guys. Our first and foremost goal is to deliver quality shows to you guys for free. Of charge to you guys, and as you guys notice, we don't have any commercials in terms of we could be plugging in. I don't want to insert anything because I'm sure I'll get in trouble for that.
But, yes, we will.
But anyway, without further ado, please just help us out in that regard. And on the line, we have our other co-host, Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
Tamara, how are you? How is it going in your shall we say neck of the woods? We don't even know where it is.
Very important things happening here, and I'm sorry I couldn't be with you guys in the studio, but I'm really happy to be able to talk to you on the phone.
For as long as the solar flares allow.
That's right. Thank
you. Right, exactly.
Well, let's get right in. We've got Raylan. Wall's closing in on him. This time he's not putting the pressure on somebody. The pressure's all being applied to him. Nice to see him in the position where he's having to sweat bullets because... Speaking of bullets, that plays prominently in this episode.
You think you've had a bad day?
Exactly.
Wow.
Everywhere he turns.
Wow.
What now?
Oh my God! I love the idea that even the small things that he did in the past.
Yeah, coming back.
They're all coming back to bite him in the ass, and how they were able to just pull these small little moments.
And it's this is where you get to see Quarles. Okay, we've all thought that he's a worthy adversary in the sense that the way he's playing the game and the chess pieces he's moving and how, but here he's really putting the screws to everything and he's really making these nice moves. Great. I mean, what better way to you? The bullet thing is just the best thing in the world. I just love that this thing, which we thought was just the greatest line ever, and everybody's talked about it, everybody's mentioned it, the next one's coming faster. And then to figure out how to use that against him, because just when you thought, man, what better way to show your badass kind of a persona.
Tam, you had something on that, right?
I did. Well, the thing is that, with so much being so carefully planned with the show, I almost thought that, dropping the bullet was what, they were planting it for the possibility of using it later, and that's not actually how it came out.
Yeah.
They're, five episodes down the road trying to figure out how are we going to get Raylan framed for murder, and somebody in the writer's room said, remember that bullet he dropped on Lynn Duffy? Let's use that. And everybody in the room went, oh my God, that's fantastic.
That's
and it's
it
just so brilliant.
Yeah, and it is. And that's what's a great thing is because you do think that it's all planned out because usually they have everything all structured and figured out ahead of time and all the arcs and everything. What a great, but that's just a moment of genius there.
It just shows how genius everybody is who's working on this show.
Yes, that's the point. And whoever did come up with that idea is probably never paying for a beer again in that room. You know, real quickly on that, though, we just finished reading the Graham Yost interview for the week. I'm really surprised at the amount of ad-lib that goes on.
Yeah.
In this show, because first of all, you've got such incredible writers and what a great writing team, but and then you discovered the actors themselves are pretty damn good writers based on the ad-libs.
Yeah, based on the day and the energy of what's going on. Yeah, they change things.
Right, so you're talking about the fact that the Lexington police guy, Detective Gary, said, well, that's just about the coolest thing I ever laid ears on.
Yes. That
and that then, was an ad-lib, and it continued through, you know, a little further through the episode. So once again, it's a testament to how the excellence of the entire environment of the show.
Yeah, Graham, you know.
I think so. It is also
Graham's put together a really good team.
It's also a testament to the, you know, the... Sorry. Solar flare.
That solar flare in his brain. Oh,
he's having his own personal solar flare.
My own personal. What I was trying to say is the ability of, you know, Timothy Oliphant and, you know, the leads to step back and let these other guys play around, you know, and not have such a control. The confidence of them, that's the word I was going for, which I lack. Anyway, what a roundabout way to get to a very small point. John, what else?
What else you got, John?
Moving on.
What is a point well taken?
Are we due for a commercial yet? No? Okay. Hey, real quick, I want to ask you guys both this. Did you think the music was a little different in this episode?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, they used the, I don't remember the actor's or performer's name, that woman who sang at the front. I don't remember her
name.
Yeah,
on the front end, but I'm talking about, you know, like as things, just the series music, just the... You know,
I'm not as clued into that as you guys are because you guys are much more musical than I am. So I'm gonna.
Well, what do you think, Steve? What do you think?
I thought it did have a different feel. I thought it just had more. I don't know, kind of ominous. I think they. Well, just
yeah, I was gonna say. I think it's darker.
Yeah, they were bringing in different instrumentation, and you know, it was just. Well, I think it was different enough that I noticed it. Mm-hmm. It was they were going in a different direction.
Speaking to the music part again, the idea that it was darker, I think that's appropriate because they're really putting the screws, and I've said that twice now. To Raylan, so they're really pushing him. Mm. So my guess is they're just going to keep getting darker and darker until we get to the last two episodes. Make it harder.
It was good music. I liked it.
Was it good music?
Yeah,
I
liked it. And that song, the Jack and Coke song,
Jack
was done
Coke.
By singer Linda Kay, who Linda also Kay. Did a song in season two over a Mags scene.
Oh, with Mags Bennett?
And so, once again, they were bringing someone back because they're that way on Justified.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, Jack and Coke.
Even
it's
though
always better with Marlboro Smoke or whatever.
Marlboro Smoke.
Yeah, that's nice. So I didn't quite get... I'm guessing the reason why, because they rarely have a scene like that where it just goes on. I know they intercut it with the other scene, but it's interesting that they let that scene go on because it... You know, it's just him in a bar. I'm guessing that the only reason why they did that is to remind people that he's alone now, and you know, his mental state is that he wishes that things were different with he and Winona and all that other stuff.
Well, you know, I think that's part of it. But I was reading somewhere that they shot this episode and episode 9 together.
Okay.
To save a day in production.
Oh,
and there was another scene, the scene where they did the perp walk, I believe it was, with Boyd in the end.
Yeah.
That was kind of added because they needed more time. And so it may have been, you know, just part of it was adding texture, but also they may have just needed to add a few more seconds of time, and so they let some of the scenes breathe, which is one of the great things about doing this kind of TV. You can really take your time to do things like that.
Tam, let me get just a real quick correction. It was last episode and this episode that they shot together.
Seventh and eighth?
Oh, yeah. It was. Oh, you're right. You're right.
Alright, but well, the point is still made.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just didn't want somebody to call and go, no.
And it would.
No, thanks for that.
Great use of music throughout, and I just thought that was to the point that, they let things breathe this time for sure. except for Gary, who didn't get to breathe at all. He just didn't get much of an episode.
No,
hey, Gary, we're going to bring you back for another... Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It's nice that they bring him back.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, it's just for one scene.
We didn't get much of a death scene, but, I mean, it's not a Mags Bennett death, but, you know, it's certainly effective. Right there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any Emmy consideration for Gary this
not
season.
Not for this one. No.
No.
But here's the thing that I think was great. I mean, first of all, I think he's a great actor. And, you know, we saw him in last week's episode, which was great, trying to be this, I don't know, some pitchman. Basically
mogul,
selling
real estate
snake
mogul.
Oil is what it was.
Right.
And then the look on his face when he got out of the trunk, they pulled him out of the trunk, and it was great because he looked so terrified. It was terrific.
The great thing about watching Quarles and Duffy and their henchmen is how little they do.
Yeah.
And they're still so intimidating. In fact, when they did the previously, and he says, wait, do I know you guys? You know me, Gary.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a shot of Quarles just looking straight ahead, having his drink.
Yeah.
That minimalist stuff that they're able to do with these bad guys.
Nicely picked that.
Yeah, you know, so I actually wanted to talk about that a little bit with... this episode is about Raylan being framed for murder.
Right.
And, you know, that the walls are closing in on him, plus he's being, you know, potentially looked at as a dirty cop.
Yeah,
and yet he's still, even when he's losing his cool, he keeps his cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Similarly with Quarles. I mean, we know that there are cracks in the facade,
but
they're still such confident characters that they can really hold on to it. And it's, you just want to be that guy.
You do. Mm. Yeah. I mean, that for two things, but. Let me go back to something you said. You start to see the cracks in everything going on there. And, you know, Raylan's much better at maintaining himself and maintaining his cool and getting back on point and all that other stuff. But Quarles, you can see he does not do well with this kind of pressure. I mean, he's doing okay, but you can see that things are cracking much bigger there and much faster.
Right. And remember, he is a psychopath. So when it does break, it's going to be a tsunami of... Yeah, crazy,
and that's what I think is great about the way they're setting him up because it looks like the last few episodes he's going to go nuts.
It's cracking, and real quick when he was approaching Limehouse at that final scene, that was not a Quarles that we've seen. That was usually it's like I'm in control and everything. Right. That was kind of him on his knees a little bit saying,
"Wait, yeah." And I think it was more for me. It was more like, "Okay, I don't my only play here is this."
Yeah. Yeah.
But even bigger than that, look at Limehouse's play. Limehouse said, "Okay, well, Errol put this all into motion when he, hired Tanner and then hit one of Boyd Crowder's places." And now, of course, Limehouse says, "Okay, now you're going to see it all the way through. I'm going to make you watch." And now Limehouse, who originally wanted to stay out, is now completely in. He's already, kind of made an alliance with Boyd. Yeah, okay, fine. You're going to get information from me. You're banking with me now. But now he goes to Quarles and says, "I want to back the winning side." So he's now playing both sides against the other. So he's really stepped up to follow Errol's step into this, which is to pit them against each other, let them war it out, and then we'll be left standing.
And it goes back to their ability to say, this is what the important storyline is. Trust us. It's going to work because look at how much we've been watching Boyd.
Yeah.
I mean, he was almost not even in this episode.
Yeah, they just kept him alive with just a few little scenes.
Exactly. And you don't really miss him, but when he's there, it's like, okay, what's happening here? And again, it's just this production of just being able to, like, it's just not important. Uh-huh. He'll be there when we need him. Hang out here. And they pull it off amazingly well.
Yeah.
They did a lot more inner cutting this time than in other episodes, at least in my mind, cutting back between storylines. I mean, and I think that added to the feeling that the pressure kept coming.
Yeah,
they
had Raylan locked in the office for the whole episode and being pulled every which way. And by the way, the guy that plays that FBI...
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, my God.
He's great.
He is so much fun to watch.
I mean, exactly.
Special Agent Barkley. And it's interesting because you see him, he's kind of immediately associated with a comedic character.
Yeah.
And he definitely brought some you know, sort of nerdy lightheartedness to it, but he's for real and he's serious about his job, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't look for a second out of place.
No,
he's kind of the everyman.
And he was playing that kind of character, you know, just because he has a little ounce of power, he's going to wield it like crazy and make your life miserable. Especially if you, you know, don't go with him or in some way cause a problem, whatever, because he's got that nerdish, stupid, I'm going to take you down just cause.
Because I can.
Exactly.
And watching him and Art work together is just so much fun. You know, Art, it's killing Art because he's like trying to maintain a hurricane with Raylan. It's like, you know, just hold on.
Well, everybody did. In this segment, everybody was pissed off at Raylan. But obviously, Tim's always peeved, you know.
No Rachel, though.
Well, that's true, but she wasn't around.
Yeah.
But Tim's pissed off at him because he has to basically. I mean, like last week he said, "I'm working with an 8-year-old or 8th grade or whatever he said." This week, you know, he's saying because I'm good at my job, but he's having to pick up the slack for when Raylan screws up. Even in the elevator, he was saying, "Let's just try this. Why don't you just be honest with me?"
Because why don't you just tell me the truth?
Just tell me the truth, exactly. Right. So he's pissed off at Raylan. Art is clearly pissed off at Raylan because, you know, I'm going to have a heart attack having you in my damn office because you can't get
stroke.
Your shit together.
A stroke.
Beg your pardon. Stroke. Thank you for clearing. And then Winona is pissed off at him because every time I turn around, the problem I have is because you're in my life.
Yep.
And yet all of them help Raylan.
They do. And all of them believe that there's no way he's dirty. There's no way he did this. And they know that, you know, the powers that are lining up against Raylan are pretty strong.
Yeah. But even his alliance, even his friends are begrudging.
Yes, they are. And wouldn't you be?
I know. You caused a problem in my life. But,
yeah.
Okay, but I'll help you.
They gave a really nice moment when Tim brings him down to the parking garage. And he says, I'm on the bottom floor.
I'll take you downstairs.
Right.
I'll take you downstairs. Right. I took you downstairs.
Yeah. And Raylan kind of looks back at him, you know, and that was just a really nice moment of...
Yeah, because they did a great job of not telegraphing what he was going
to
do.
Because ever since Raylan came back to the office, he's never really considered Tim, an equal.
Well, just in the sense that he did when he was always doing about the sharpshooting thing. He is
the
best. And he always has touted Tim's ability behind the sniper. So in that regard, yeah, but he's always, you know, he's asked him for favors like crazy and gotten him into trouble. But that's what Raylan does to everybody.
But it's always, that's true. But, with Raylan and Tim, it's definitely a one-way street.
And it has been so far.
I like seeing Tim starting to go, no, we're putting up roadblocks here because, this is definitely a two-way. You know, you had mentioned...
You meant two-way...
Two-way street,
yeah,
sorry.
Okay, yeah, you want to finish that.
Solar flare. You had mentioned how we're seeing him alone early on, you know, and just kind of hanging out in the bar and all that sort of thing. And I thought it was a great setup for when he finally sees Winona again, because it really does make you just pain for just, you know, you're just hurting for him when he's back in her presence.
I thought she did a fabulous job in that scene when she finds out Gary got killed.
Yeah, the confusion,
and not even
knowing what the question is.
Yeah, clearly, I mean, that the way she was responding and hesitating and repeating things like she was in shock. I mean, I thought it was terrific. So,
Think that's kind of a difficult thing scene to write?
Because so much of it is like,
yeah.
And how do you put those words on paper?
And what is the response if somebody tells you?
I don't know.
But I thought she did a great job as well.
One of my favorite moments was when she gets hauled into the other office by the Lexington police officer, and they start talking to her. And while she's in there, Tim is trying to get the timeline from Raylan, and he's listening. What's his line? Look, Raylan, if you want to put your ear up to that glass, you go right ahead. And they're asking her if so you didn't know about Gary putting out a contract killing on you. And Raylan says, Tim, why don't you give us a minute? Tim goes, no, I don't think I should leave. She goes, Raylan, is it true? And then, of course, Tim goes, I think I better get me some coffee.
Yeah, I'll get some coffee.
Wonderfully underplayed by Tim. So, God, that guy's good. So underutilized at this point. But he's terrific when he's on screen. I love watching that guy.
I want to get him back in the field. I want to see him back in action.
Oh, God, he's so kick-ass when he's got the sniper rifle.
It's so good. He's a total badass when he's being sniper dude. Yeah.
Sniper dude.
Sniper dude. So
a little pet name for him, huh?
So at this point, then the FBI still thinks Raylan is dirty. So
right, but here's this was great about it because Quarles set up both. Mm. You, I mean, to orchestrate both in the same day. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That's okay.
We're gonna frame him for murder and get the Phibbies coming after him. So squeeze the crap out of him, and like
and trying to get isn't it Tanner? He's trying to get to kill Raylan.
Well, I don't know that. We don't know that. You know, who knows? Maybe he's trying to. He's gonna have Tanner kill the other Shelby, the other sheriff guy running for sheriff
contender. Yeah. Well,
whoever he's going to kill, evidently he's going to do it in a crowded room full of people.
Exactly. So which is a nice setup as well.
Because that was the deal.
But I was really impressed that they were able to swing that with Quarles because I completely bought that he figured out, okay, we got the bullet. Not only am I going to do the bullet, because that would have been enough to frame him for murder,
right.
You know, I mean, to keep him preoccupied and squeeze him and all that. No, but we're going to make sure that at the same time, we're going to get the other thing going. So Rand's got to fight these things on two fronts. Plus, he's got to deal with the Mignona issue because he hasn't told her anything.
Because it would have killed her.
It would have killed her, yeah, which was, yeah.
And that... Which makes her final line to him just so hard.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, but again, I'm going to go back to the other thing about that storyline is because it really didn't jive for me that it took so long for her to get to that. If you remember.
Don't come looking after me again, seriously.
Yeah, because remember she was leaving at the end of last season and then they went through this, you know, honeymoon period because she was pregnant and all this, and it took forever for her to realize, wait a minute here, this isn't going to work. And then, boom, don't come looking for me again. So I just thought they needed a smoother transition for me anyway. But I'm glad she said it because that's, and we'll see more of her. I still
do you remember seeing him looking for her?
Well, no. I mean, well, he went to look for her at his sister, at her sister.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, and you know, Tammy, last week you were talking about how, you know, she was going to be put in jeopardy as part of your predictions.
Yes.
I still think that's going to happen, even though she's saying...
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, because we got to put her in jeopardy.
Hey, Tam, did you notice her looking very pregnant when we...
No, not really. No. I currently have a pregnant sister. I've been hanging around the pregnancy thing. Yes, and Winona, no.
No.
Flag on the play.
Unnecessary roughness.
Okay, all right. All right. Duly noted. But I don't even know how far along
the other thing that I did notice about her was that she was looking particularly pretty. I mean, she's a very pretty gal to begin with, but she looked very kind of waifish and beautiful in this episode to me, kind of fragile, which, again...
But that goes to Raylan's,
sort of sets up... Well, it goes back to him and his, you know, sadness about her being gone, but then also the portent, I think, of her becoming a victim... soon enough, because we need to really be in love with her so that the pain of whatever's going to happen to her will be that much harder to deal with.
They're going to break your heart, Tammy.
They're going to break my heart.
That's why I really, really liked Gary, so it was painful for that for me.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Really liked Gary.
that's the only one I could think of. Hey, do you know what the body count was? Was it just one?
Just Gary, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just Gary. That's all they needed.
Right, yeah, Wes, man, we need some blood and guts. We haven't seen any for a while.
There's going to be plenty by the end of the time.
You know
Tanner's going to get it. You know Quarles is going to get it. You know that there's going to be lots of people.
I think in a couple of the interviews a couple of weeks ago, I think Graham Yost was saying, there's a couple of setup episodes where, you know, we're just setting everything up for the big showdown.
Right.
So.
No, that is not the phone call I'm waiting for.
Well, why don't you silence that for us if you want.
Okay.
So, okay, let's move on to the Sheriff Boyd thing because it was, you know, we didn't see Boyd a lot as Steve already has mentioned, but they kept the story alive because obviously the big explosion and, you know, then he arrests Boyd for this explosion and we find out later, of course, it's Tanner. Just paving the way for, you know, because now Boyd's going to be back in prison.
Mm-hmm.
In some fashion, okay, he's got to find his way out because we can't have Boyd in prison. How boring will that be? We like him out of prison.
What did they say about that in the interview, Tam?
Yeah, they said that the question was, is Boyd getting out of prison or is he going to be causing trouble from prison? And Graham Yost said, yes.
Well, playing it close to the vest, I guess.
Yeah.
Nice.
So they know that that Boyd sitting in prison and not being part of the show is not interesting to viewers. So, so he'll be getting out, but he won't be escaping.
Okay, so he's going to find some.
He'll be getting out, but he won't be escaping.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, but you can't just throw Boyd in because it's Boyd. I mean, you really have to be able to use him you know, the viewers want to see. So I like the fact that they're setting it up. They're taking their time. We know when Boyd comes back, it's going to be hell of a good show.
How are they going to put all that together? But I thought that was one of my favorite parts about that storyline was the sheriff said, you know, sets him up for the perp walk. Yeah. And his deputy starts getting his, would you knock it out? You got to wait for the cameras for a perp walk, you idiot. And then he starts, you know, fixing his hair in the mirror.
And then when he gets out of the car, he's like, I don't see the red light. Exactly. Like, there we go. He gives it a pause.
He's got the whole thing down. He's done this before.
He had a great line in the car.
He's a politician. He's not a sheriff. He's a politician. Absolutely. He's like every other politician.
He had a great line in the car. He said, you're running Bennett. Who's Boyd backing?
Oh, Shelby.
Shelby, you're running Shelby's campaign and you don't know what we're waiting for? Yeah. Good luck with that.
Exactly. So he's a veteran.
Yeah.
He's a wily veteran, so he knows it.
You know, and I go back to when we started this season and we got introduced to Quarles and, you know, and right away I'm thinking, oh, so here's the showdown. We're going to see Quarles and Boyd, and Boyd. And that's not the case at all.
No.
I mean,
way more
later. Boyd off to the side and now there's all these new, you know, things, crazy things going on. Mm-hmm. So, again...
All right, before we go into the next... One other thing, very colorful speeches today. I mean, especially the one with Jerry Burns, Win Duffy at the end there. Well, he and Timothy Oliphant when they're in that room. That was just good stuff. Oh, my God. And I'm just wondering, how did that come to be? And, Tammy, you were talking about the interview again, something about not all of that was written and that some of that was improvised on the day of the shoot or whatever between Jerry.
Right. And again, it's a lot of, you know, Timothy Oliphant gets to do a fair amount of hanging out in the writing room as well as improvising because he's clearly so good at it.
Yeah. Well, so is Jerry. Jerry's been around forever. That guy's been amazing.
Yeah.
And they were saying that producer Taylor Elmore and or Jerry Burns and Timothy Oliphant kind of worked that whole scene out.
Yeah. That was a great scene. You know that room's going to come back, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to bring in the luminol or whatever it is. They're going to see all that, under the paint or whatever.
They've referenced it a few times. Did you paint it? I love the scene where the detective's trying to get that thing.
And Quarles is eating his spaghetti.
Yeah.
Detective. Yes. Detective.
Yes. Quarles at his best. Nothing's going to faze him.
That's right.
Tam, what did you think of the color that they chose?
Well, you know, I thought it was a little dark, but if it's a sunshiny room, it'll be okay.
Okay, good. Is it true?
To a certain degree, it wasn't an aesthetic thing. It was more a utilitarian scenario. Did they use kills underneath or not? We haven't established that either.
Well, I'm hoping they used oil-based kills.
Yeah.
Is it true that you can't go wrong with taupe?
Well, I think that's pretty much true for most people.
Okay, good to know. So if you do have a bloody room... Oil-based kills and taupe.
Okay. And a nice taupe.
Again, a great line. This is my knock. When he holds up,
my mom taught me how to shoot, and she taught me. My Uncle Sam gave me this.
And this is my knock.
They had a lot of just great lines. And then, of course, Art had amazing lines. It's a big building. Maybe he's just taking a shit.
That's what I liked about watching Art against the FBI.
Art was amazing.
You know, we got our own pace.
Of all the characters, Nick might be the funniest to me because Nick Searcy is the actor that plays the character's Art, but I think he does such a fabulous job. And I want to talk to that guy and see if each week he just means, you know, thanking God.
Oh my God.
I get to say these things.
Oh my God. And being used so judiciously where you don't get sick of the guy. It's like, oh, come on. You know, he just pops a scene and that's all you need. Mm-hmm. So much fun to watch.
All right. We got to get into Quarles here. Limehouse and Quarles. We start the show. Well, not started, but the third, fourth scene, we have Limehouse coming out of Noble's Holler to meet up with Quarles in Lexington to let him know to let him know the whole thing about the sheriff and that he wants to be on the winning side. And right there, it's like, whoa, he's coming out of going all the way there to set this up. And that looked a little odd and fishy and stuff. But then we bookend it because we end there. And Quarles has gone to Limehouse.
Yes.
Say, I'm ready. That's it. You wanted to back the winning side. Let's do it. So I think Quarles has got no other choice. I think this is his final play because everything he thought was going to happen with Raylan didn't turn out. And now what have I got? Well, my only ally here because Sammy's no longer there. He's got no money from Detroit. He's got nothing except Limehouse. Mm-hmm. So
I liked how they did that too. The opening when Quarles, when Limehouse goes to Quarles, it's in the sunshine. It's right out in the open. Everything's bright.
It's at night.
No. In the beginning.
The first scene. Yeah, it's at night.
When Limehouse is at Quarles, that was at night?
Yeah, ouch. Yeah, it's at night. Yeah, because they just finished killing Gary. It's at night.
Okay.
So.
Well, I assume Tammy's got to go, so I'm...
Forget that, because I could have sworn I saw that it was in the daytime.
No, it's at night.
But for me,
it works the same way, because it's just a bookend. They did the exact same thing the other way.
Yeah, but then I like how Quarles comes, and it's much darker.
Yeah, well, and the other thing was is interesting is that just the way they staged it, Limehouse comes in, Miss Quarles, and he stops, says, pardon my interruption. And then when we go to the other side, and, later at the end of the show, Quarles goes to meet Limehouse, and Limehouse says, that's far enough, and Quarles just keeps coming.
He just keeps taking those few steps.
Just a little thing to show you that Quarles is willing to go beyond where it's just enough. He's just going to keep coming.
Yeah.
Which I thought that's just that little metaphor right there tells you enough. But even better
and how Limehouse responds to it is like just smiling at him. Like, okay.
All right, here it comes. Okay. Good. And it's almost like he's reeling him in anyway, because that's what Limehouse is doing. He's setting him up.
He is.
Yeah. But, of course, Quarles doesn't have an idea, or at least we don't think he has an idea. But even better was the scene prior to that when he's in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we get to, this is the first time we've seen him where he hasn't responded to his family.
Right.
And taking the phone call.
Right.
So, again, those cracks are showing up where, they're getting to him. The pressure's getting to him. Normally, he would talk to the kid, talk to the mom, wife, whatever it was, and would have had a charming conversation with him. No, not interested. And not only that, he starts taking the product.
He does take the product. But he also is throwing the phone down in frustration.
Yeah.
So he's like... At the end of the day, he's just trying to provide for his family.
Yeah, in his world, in his mind,
and he can't do that because of Sammy
and all the other stuff that's happening. Yeah, and that is
a big thing. And when he starts taking his own product, survive
every time you do it. And here's the other thing: this is a guy who's he's tooling up hustlers. That's what he does for fun. That's how he finds relief.
Yeah.
For goofing around sake.
Well, and I wanted to ask you guys, do you think he's taken the oxy before?
I don't know. But it seemed like he's one of those guys that has an addictive nature to begin with. He's like, obsessive compulsive or whatever. So it was interesting that they had that choice, because what I find so desperate, if he's willing to beat somebody up just for fun, and this is how he gets his kicks, what's he going to be like on oxy?
Right,
exactly. And, making yummy noises while he's taking it.
Exactly.
Which made me think probably he hasn't taken it before. But, yeah, if he wasn't scary and, off kilter before, it's going to be really interesting to see how he develops in the next couple of episodes.
So, an angry, desperate Quarles.
Yeah.
On the loose, and then you throw oxy in there?
Yeah. For me, this episode was a lot about putting both those two guys, Quarles and Raylan, under a lot of pressure and seeing how they responded to it.
But there was a parallel of they were both having a really bad day.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Raylan was being pulled in every which direction.
Yeah.
Quarles pulls a gun on the boss's son.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he said, hey, you're already out. We can't, because what has he got to lose in his mind? I mean.
And all the players, you got a little bit of the, we know it's coming, but damn, in that scene, I was thinking, is he going to do it?
Yeah,
are they
going to
do this?
Exactly,
is he going to whack the boss's kid?
Yeah. So,
another great line as he's walking away. Sammy's walking away. Does that thing ever jam on you?
Well, that's what I was going to talk about in the predictions, because I go, I don't think they laid that line in there for fun. I think at some point we're going to see that thing jam on him, and that would be interesting, because we've never seen it not work.
Exactly.
Would love to see Quarles
seen him work on it too, and making sure it's all greased and good to go.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be great? He does that thing, because we're so used to it, and we're going to expect it. It's kind of like, when we saw, who's the guy, the ice pick guy?
Yeah.
We saw that gag, and then when it didn't work.
Nick the pick,
thank you. So now it'll be interesting. He's going to whip that thing out, pardon me, and it's not going to work, and then, now what?
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. I'm hoping.
Well, then what's going to happen is Raylan's going to shoot him dead. That's what's going to happen.
Maybe, right, but remember, they found the planted gun, and we don't know what happened to that either.
Yeah.
So,
well, Raylan has it. Yeah.
But we don't know where it's going to go, because it can go one of two places, at least.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll get to that in predictions. But you know, it was great that when Nona left, you know, I didn't get it at first. You know, when she was at the Marshalls things and they said, okay, can we search your places? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she has a little fight with Raina and then she takes off and she's going strictly to go to the house to make sure that gun isn't there.
Right.
Why are you at your house? To look for the gun.
Duh. Did you touch it? What am I, an asshole? You know, it's like, you know, I mean, that's the thing that Tim would say. You know how he always says, it's exact. They talk to him like, you know, and Raylan, I didn't touch it.
Would you ever think to hide a key in the gas cap area of your car?
No, I wouldn't.
I do now.
I know.
That was cool.
That's another thing where I'm like going, oh, there's a cool thing.
Yeah, instead of under the bumper or whatever, the wheel well or something like that. Yeah.
That was a really cool thing. That stuff, the small stuff like that, you're like going, that's great. I love that.
All right. Well, look, we've covered everything. Is there anything you guys want to chat with? Because we can move on and we can go to a break and perhaps.
Well, I was curious that, a couple of seasons ago, Raylan put the notice on the door of anything left in here after 24 hours.
A couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Whatever I said. And now the house is empty.
Right.
Do we know what happened to everything?
They moved it. Coral's moved it all out.
It's just gone.
He was on the phone once and he told Wynn, find me another place, drop everything, just find me another place and clear all this out of here and paint the room. The only thing he hadn't done was paint the room. So they cleared it all out because they didn't want the marshal's office to gain access and control to all the things they had in there.
All right. So that whole enterprise then is not
It's just
happening.
Moved on. It's mobile. They just found another place to put it all.
Okay.
So that was the idea. And hopefully they're not within 200 feet of a school.
I guess not. I was just curious because, you know, for the amount of effort and time that we spent, and, you know, it's supposed to generate $1 million a month and all that sort of thing.
The whole enterprise, not just that one, but all of them that they have out.
Oh, I see.
So that's not the only place. That's the only place they were generating all the MRIs from and all that other stuff, but that wasn't the place that they were selling all their product from.
Well, what do you think of the Quarles and Tanner meet? I mean...
It was fine. I mean, it had to happen. It served the story because, you know, Tanner's going to come back and probably shoot somebody in a crowded room.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
He's still here. Yeah.
Exactly. Has to be done. All right. Quick, so, Tammy, you got anything else? Otherwise, we'll go.
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Then, Phil, if you would kindly please take us to our break.
After Buzz TV.
Hi. I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds. Like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
All right,
John, you realize that's like background music for you to like just get
into. I like to listen to it. I don't want to hear me over that.
I have to visualize Tammy dancing.
Yeah, exactly. She's not Tammy here. Likes to dance.
I was. You know I was. Yeah.
Tammy, you've got some news and gossip for us.
I do. I'm really happy to say that Justified has been picked up for a fourth season.
Fourth season.
Yay!
It was announced this week.
Was it any question? No. All right.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you never know.
Probably no question, but you just never know. The season finale is airing April 10th, and actually every year ratings are increasing.
Good.
This season, season three, there's been an 8% increase in total viewers over season two.
Nice.
So
good for them.
Well, they're clearly seeing that it's you know,
trending,
it's got
in the right direction.
Awards, it's getting ratings, and it's getting acclaimed by people. So they'd be foolish not to renew it, and they have.
Yeah,
well, we're doing our part.
Yeah,
we are
from the beginning. Because dang,
I had to twist your guys' arm to watch it, and then you went, oh yeah, this is it, this is good.
Yeah, well, we're always behind the curve. Hey, Tam, do you know when Mr. Big is due to arrive? Is he on the next episode, or was that
Sammy's dad? You're talking about
Sammy's
the Detroit
dad.
You know,
yeah.
I can't remember.
I think it's the last two episodes.
I know episode 11 and 12, we've got some big things happening with Quarles. We're on episode 8 right now.
Correct.
Let's see, I do have it here. Adam Arkin is coming in... episode 11 and 13. And 13 is the season 3 finale.
Okay. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, a couple more episodes, and then we'll get to see Adam Arkin. Right.
This is going to be interesting to see him as a Detroit mobster. I don't know how he's going to play it, but I'm just really excited about it. I think it'll be very interesting. What? I mean, of all the things he's done, I'll play a Detroit mobster. Yeah, let's do that.
Here's another thing that the writers, producers, actors, everyone involved in this show should remember. We look forward to these shows. There's a moment in the week where we go, oh my God, Justified is on tonight. Oh, this is so cool. So don't think it goes unnoticed and unappreciated.
So,
thank you.
So much so that we watch it twice.
Yeah, we do. And enjoy it both times.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We got to move on to predictions.
Is that it for the update?
That's it for the update.
All right.
That's all we got.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, I already talked about mine because I think the gun is going to jam, which will put
Quarles
in a jam.
I think that's a really good
and I would be love to see it. And I'm going to tag along with Tamara's prediction from last week. It's definitely Winona that's going to be put in jeopardy. And I think that's the thing that, and I'll even second the idea that she's going to go bye bye.
Really?
I think that's what Tamara. Isn't that what you said, Tam?
I did. I mean, partly because she's got another job.
Yeah.
And because they're going to break our hearts. They do it every season. It probably isn't going to happen next week, but
no, it'll be the
it's
going to
happen soon.
Yeah, it'll be the penultimate or the finale.
We haven't seen Arlo.
That's going to break our hearts in a different way. But I don't think they're going to get away with putting him in jeopardy. They might try it, but it's not going to affect Raylan the way that they think it is. But
it's not the trump card that Winona is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think
Arlo is
but I
not
think
long
they're
going
to... Yeah, I don't think Arlo's long for this. And I think what's interesting, as I said it in a previous podcast, it's going to be interesting to see how it affects Raylan. I think it's going to affect him in ways he wasn't ready for.
Yes.
And it's completely...
he'll be blindsided.
He'll be blindsided, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely going to set the tone for season 4.
Yeah. So, but okay, now we saw Raylan kissing Ava.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know.
In the preview.
You know, she's a bounce back.
Do you think he did that just to get to Boyd? Or
they had a genuine relationship before. I can definitely see Raylan and Ava getting back together again. I think it's going to create some complications for him, though.
Yeah,
if you remember season one, and in fact the song Justified in there, they put in that quote from Ava, "I've been in love with you since I was 12 years old," or
that's
something
true.
Like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's with Boyd now. I don't see her leaving Boyd.
Because
I think she's got a taste of the Bonnie Clyde thing.
Well, the other thing that they said when he was talking to Art is, I'm drinking a little more than I should. So, you know, Raylan may spin out of control a little bit if Winona's saying, you know, this is it. Don't come after me. So, you know, I don't know. We may see Raylan.
You know, in the history of Justified, there have been many episodes where Raylan was single. Hooking up with somebody,
Tamara.
So
you just got a
solar. He's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, you on our end of that, Tam, it was total solar flare. So
it's like,
oh really? I was just saying,
it's like a tease
Raylan's
of her
a bit
prediction.
Of a man tramp.
Oh, he's a bit of a major. Well, he's a major. He's got that William Shatner of Star Trek thing.
What?
Well, you know, he was always laying everything.
Oh.
William Shatner. He's always got to have a girl. There are very few episodes where Raylan hasn't been with a girl.
Okay.
And they've been lately.
All right. Well, that's it. We got anything else? I hear that our outro music is happening. Yep. They're trying to get us out of here. Thank you.
Hey, I want people to know they can find me on Twitter at Tamara Berg, and also look at my website, TamaraCentral.com.
There you go. All right. Phil, what do you got?
Phil?
I got, what do I got? Let's see.
You wanted to remind everybody to give us a comment.
Yes, you got to do the comments. Again, give us a comment. You know, one day, as I said, when we're old men together, we can sit down and we'll talk about what those comments really mean. But they mean the world to us. What?
You're the comments are our lifeblood.
Yeah, we need the comments.
No, because, again, you know, it's all we ask for in return. It helps us. Here's how it helps us, in short. Because, you know, when we tell, you know, Timothy Oliphant or Walton Goggins or anyone else from the show, like, hey, come on our podcast, and they see those awesome comments about the show and the 5-star ratings, they're like, oh, I got to get involved.
There you go. But if and they that's see, how we get more
Right now, they see, like, you know, 3 or 4 comments. That doesn't do us any justice. You know. We're not justified for them to come on. But if they
that's
see
right,
the ratings, you know, they'll be a part of it, and they can't not be a part
that's
of that.
Right.
So that's why that helps.
And Erica is going to help because she's been on the podcast, so I'm sure we're going to
Erica Trezell. How do you I'm going to get it.
Tezel.
Tezel. There you go.
Tezel.
If you're commenting on me, please lie and just be nice.
All right.
That would help.
Well, that's all there is for Season 3, Episode 8, Watching the Detectives from Justified. On behalf of Tamara Berg.
Thank you.
Phil Svitek.
Hey, hey.
Steve Bottomley.
Gracias.
I'm John Comerford saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz y'all later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.